Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Welcome to another edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. This is Stage 10. Today is July 18th, 2007, and we're talking about the 2007 Tour de France. Now, today's stage would take the peloton from Tallard to Marseille. It's the second longest stage of the 2007 Tour at 229.5 kilometers. Today, there are two intermediate sprints, two Category 4 climbs, and two Category 3 climbs, both of those coming at the end of the stage. Going into today's Stage 10 in the yellow jersey, Michael Rasmussen from Denmark and Team Rabobank. He's at 43 hours, 42 minutes, and 48 seconds. In the green jersey, Tom Bonin from Belgium and Team Quickstep. In the white, Alberto Contador from Russia and Team Discovery. He had an amazing ride yesterday. In the polka dot jersey, Michael Rasmussen from Denmark and Team Rabobank. And a correction from yesterday, today's most aggressive rider, in other words, the one who was the most aggressive yesterday wearing that red number, is Popovich from Team Discovery. Sorry about that. I said it was Contador yesterday. It actually is Popovich. There were no additional pre-race withdrawals going into today's stage. Now, it was a warm day in Marseille as the riders headed down into Provence, out of the Alps, and heading toward the Pyrenees. Some light winds blowing, again, today being the longest stage of the 2007 Tour de France. Now, pretty much not a lot going on at the beginning of today's stage. A lot of the riders feeling that it's time to take a little bit of a rest before the Pyrenees show up. So not a lot of action until about 57 kilometers into the stage, and that was the first climb of the day, a Category 4 climb. At the top, it was Marcus Burkhardt from T-Mobile taking first place King of the Mountains points. In second, Xavier Florencio. And in third, from Discovery, Yaroslav Popovich. Now, after that climb, Burkhardt went out ahead all alone, and he ended up getting chased down by a group of 10 riders. Included in that chase group were Jens Voigt from CSC, Juan Antonio Flecha from Rabobank, Paolo Bossoni from Lamprey, Patrice Haugand from Credit Agricole, Staff Scherlings from Cofidis, Michael Albacini from Liquigas, Alexander Kuczynski from Liquigas, Sandy Kassar from Française du Jeu, Cedric Vasseur from Quickstep, and Andre Grivko from Milram. Now, Burkhardt ended up getting caught at the 81-kilometer mark, and at the 82.5-kilometer sprint, Vasseur took first-place points, Grivko second, and Bossoni took third. On the second climb, another Category 4 climb at the top, it was Haugand, Scherlings, and Voigt. The gap at that point was up to 9 minutes, and eventually it would go all the way up to about 14 minutes. From then on, from about the 100-kilometer mark all the way until the end, the gap stayed at about 10 to 12 minutes all day. Somewhere around about 84 or 85 kilometers to go, we saw Alexander Vinokourov go back to the back of the pack and talk to the race doctor. He had his knee looked at, and as you'll recall, both of Vinokourov's knees have a number of stitches in them from a crash early in this year's Tour de France. Vino is making an extremely valiant effort at this year's race. He has numerous stitches in his knees, stitches in his elbow, and nevertheless, he continues to soldier on in what is arguably the hardest athletic event in the world. And imagine, you have stitches in your knee, you need to bend your knees a few times a day when you're riding your bike, especially when you're riding in a stage like this one. So we think Vino's doing a great job. I really don't think that he's still in contention for the overall victory in Paris, but he certainly is making a good showing for himself as well as for Team Astana. Shortly after we saw Vino talking to the race doctor, the first intermediate sprint of the day occurred, and nobody in that breakaway group of 11 riders really went for it. They just sort of stayed in their breakaway pace, and at the line it was Scherlinks, Voigt, and Bassoni taking first, second, and third. About 10 kilometers later, at the 75-kilometer mark, I had the opportunity just to check the weather in Marseille to see what the riders were in for. At the time, it was about 88 degrees Fahrenheit, 31 C, and the wind was blowing about 14 miles per hour, also 22 kilometers per hour. Again, as I said earlier, the lead hovered around 10 to 11 minutes all the way from the 100-kilometer mark, even to the base of the penultimate climb, the Category 3 Côte des Bastides, the top of which comes at 28 kilometers into today's stage. Now, this is about a 7.5-kilometer climb, and at this point, it seemed obvious that the peloton was never going to bridge the gap to the breakaway, and the peloton really wasn't fighting for it. They all seemed confident to stay at the pace they were at and to stay anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes behind the breakaway. As they went into the climb, all of the riders in the break started to look at each other very nervously. They were all sort of sizing each other up, wanting to see who would attack first. Voigt went for it in an attempt to test the rest of the riders, and everyone kept up. There wasn't a problem. Now, Algand attacked the break, and Cassar and Albacini went with him, and this was about 1 kilometer to the top. And at the top of the climb, Algand took the King of the Mountains points, or at least the lion's share. Albacini took second, and Cassar third. Now, on the backside of the Côte des Bastides, there were 5 riders in the lead group, having dropped the 6 others. They were Voigt, Algand, Albacini, Cassar, and Vasseur. And on the final climb of the day, the Col de la Jeuneste, which is about a 7.5-kilometer climb, there still was a 5-rider break. Now, Algand attacked several times, and each time he was reeled in. And it seemed at this point that the 2 contenders for the stage victory were going to be Voigt and Algand. At the summit of the climb, Algand went for it in an attempt to drop the rest of the group. From there, it was all downhill. King of the Mountains points went to Algand, Voigt, and Albacini for first, second, and third. Again, it was obvious that one of the 5 in this group was going to win the final stage. In the last 5 kilometers coming into Marseille, again, pretty much all downhill from the top of the Col de la Jeuneste to the finish line in Marseille. And in the last 5 kilometers, nobody wanted to make a move because they knew that the first one to go for it would surely lose the race. In the last 300 meters, you could still see everyone sizing each other up. Voigt was leading, looking into the back of the pack over his shoulders, trying to figure out who was going to make that final sprint. Finally, with a couple hundred meters to go, Vasseur went for it, and everyone responded. Unfortunately, Voigt either went too late or had nothing left in his legs, because while he had been leading in those last few hundred meters, when Vasseur sprinted, Voigt didn't respond, and he got quickly dropped and closed out by the group. And at the line, it was Cedric Vasseur taking the stage victory. Cassar nearly caught him, maybe lost it by just a couple of inches. Albacini took third, with Algand in fourth and Voigt in fifth. Congratulations to the break for staying away all day. So at the end of today's stage, first place went to Cedric Vasseur in 5 hours, 20 minutes, and 24 seconds. Again, he's from France and Team Quickstep. Second place, Sandy Cassar, also from France and the Française de Joux team. Third to Michael Albacini from Switzerland and Team Liquigas. Fourth, Patrice Algand, also from France and Crédit Agricole. And in fifth, the same time as the previous 4, Jens Voigt from Germany and Team CSC. In sixth place, Staff Scherlinks from Belgium and Team Cofidis, 36 seconds behind our stage leader Cedric Vasseur. In seventh, Paolo Bossini from Italy and Lampre Fondital, 36 seconds back. In eighth, the man who started the break for everyone today, Marcus Burkhardt from Germany and T-Mobile, 1 minute and 1 second back. finishing 2 minutes and 34 seconds back of our leader, ninth place, Alexander Kuczynski from Belarus and Leaky Gas. And in 10th, the man who, well, who Paul and Phil thought was going to win today's stage, Juan Antonio Flecha from Spain and Team Rabobank, also 2 minutes, 34 seconds back. Well, the peloton certainly made the right decision by allowing the break to go ahead, because no one ended up with any problems in the top 10. Nobody lost any time. First place retaining the yellow jersey, Michael Rasmussen, currently sitting at 49 hours, 23 minutes, and 28 seconds. In second place, 2 minutes and 35 seconds behind Rasmussen from Spain and Castapana, Alejandro Valverde. In third place, Iban Mayo from Spain and Sonier Duval, he's sitting 2 minutes and 39 seconds back. In fourth place from Australia, it's Cadel Evans from the Predictor Lotto team. He's 2 minutes and 41 seconds back. In fifth, Alberto Contador, who had that great ride yesterday from Spain and Team Discovery, 3 minutes and 8 seconds back. In sixth, from France, and AG2R, sitting 3 minutes, 18 seconds behind our yellow jersey leader, Michael Rasmussen, it's Christophe Moreau. In seventh, Carlos Sastre from Spain and Team CSC, 3 minutes, 39 seconds back. Andreas Klöden is in 8th place from Astana, 3 minutes and 50 seconds back. American Levi Leipheimer is in 9th place from Team Discovery, 3 minutes and 53 seconds back. And in 10th, having a great Tour de France from Luxembourg and T-Mobile, sitting 5 minutes and 6 seconds back, it's Kim Kirkin. So again, our yellow jersey leader for right now is Michael Rasmussen. Our green jersey, retaining our green jersey, is Tom Bonin from Belgium and Quickstep. He's got 160 points. Sitting in second place for the green is Eric Zabel. He's got 144 points. And in third from Team Barlow World, Robert Hunter with 114 points. In the white jersey still is Alberto Contador from Russia and Team Discovery. And in the polka dot is Michael Rasmussen. But since he's wearing the yellow jersey, his 98 points will keep him in first place for the polka dot. But wearing it tomorrow will be Juan Soler from Colombia and Team Barlow World, sitting with 79 points. Tomorrow, we're looking at stage 11. We go from Marseille to Montpellier. It's 182.5 kilometers, two intermediate sprints, but basically a flat stage with just one category 4 climb. Just a couple of news and notes before we go today. The first one, you may recall yesterday that I mentioned Dave Zabriskie, and I mentioned a little bit of surprise that he was making pace at the beginning of the peloton with his Team CSC teammates. And the reason for that is Zabriskie is sitting literally in second to last place in this year's Tour de France. As a matter of fact, he's in 170th out of 171st place, 1 hour, 42 minutes, and 49 seconds behind current maillot jaune wearer Michael Rasmussen. Now, the person in 171st place is known in the Tour de France as the Lantern Rouge. Lantern Rouge simply means red lantern. Now, what that refers to is the red taillights attached to the last car on a wagon or on a railway train. And so one other distinction that is worth mentioning in the Tour de France, we've talked about the various jerseys and the number plates and things like that, but one thing we haven't spoken about so far is the Lantern Rouge. And that is a dubious distinction which David Zabriskie is risking gaining. Do you recall a couple of days ago I mentioned that Patrick Sinkiewicz from the T-Mobile team had to drop out of this year's Tour de France because he was involved in a post-race crash with a spectator. The spectator actually ended up in a coma. Thank goodness the spectator is now out of the coma. And Sinkiewicz had some injuries of his own, including a broken nose. Well, today, just before the start of Stage 10, it was announced that Sinkiewicz tested positive for an elevated level of testosterone on June the 8th. Now, of course, they're going to be testing his B sample, and the results of that will be forthcoming in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, this looks like bad news for Sinkiewicz and for the T-Mobile team. Said Bob Stapleton, the manager of T-Mobile, quote, "This is an athlete who committed to our code of conduct. If he stepped outside it, it is extremely disappointing. We support the test procedure and we support the sanctions, even if it is an athlete of our team. It's good to see that the fight against doping works." This increased testing is what our sport needs. It's in the best interest of the sport. When we decided to change the sport, we knew that it would be risky. What we have to do is stay committed. Commenting to reporters after the announcement, UCI President Pat McQuaid said, quote, "My initial reaction is to wait for the B sample, then to comment. I think it is very unfortunate if this is the case." So we'll wait to see what happens with Sinkewitz. And of course, I don't think that we're going to have the B sample before the end of the Tour de France. So I won't be able to bring you that news here on the Daily Tour podcast. If you want the updates for that, listen to the Fredcast cycling podcast, www.thefredcast.com or on iTunes. Now, this positive test or alleged positive test of Patrick Sinkewitz occurred on June the 8th, well in advance of this year's Tour de France. Some people speculated variety of reasons why they might have announced this today, especially considering the fact that Sinkewitz is no longer in the race and that this might be a distraction from this year's Tour de France. Well, perhaps in reaction to that, Germany's state networks ARD and ZDF announced immediately after the announcement of the potentially positive test that they would stop their live broadcasts of the 2007 Tour de France. Said a spokesman, quote, "We can't screen an event involving some teams and riders under suspicion of doping. We want to show by this gesture that we're ready to support cycling only if it's clean. That's to say, without banned substances. It's a warning to cycling and to every other sport." So whether this is in protest of the timing or whether this is simply a gesture on their part to support professional cycling in its fight against doping, it certainly is a major gesture by these two networks, because you can imagine the number of German cycling fans, especially considering who some of these top cyclists are. I mean, look at where Eric Zabel is, look at where Jens Voigt is, and so many others in this year's Tour de France. So this is quite an interesting gesture. It's unclear whether this is just for today or whether this will last for the rest of the Tour de France. I'll keep you updated on that here on the Daily Tour podcast when we continue in the next couple of days. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.